All right, Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And I said something last week, and I want to say it again, and then maybe even elaborate on it a little further. I have heard men say, not in these exact words, but I've heard them make a phrase, something along this lines. We preach Christ. And then they talk about other things in Scripture, about the way we are to walk, the way we're to conduct ourselves in this world. And they say, basically, what we do is we preach Christ as pastors, as preachers. We preach Christ. The rest of it we leave between God and God's people. Now, what some of these people mean when they say this, because I've listened to them in some detail, trying to figure out what exactly do they mean. Basically, with some of them, they basically mean this. We preach the 5 points of Calvinism. The rest we leave for everyone else to discover on their own. That's what they're talking about. Now, the truth is, this idea that if a person is a child of God, they'll automatically just run after the Word and desire everything in the Word concerning how to walk, and it's just not so. It's just not so. We're all fallen creatures by nature, and we are prone to go off the path.
Yes, sir.
And we're prone to justify ourselves when we're off the path. We never go off the path and say, uh-oh, I'm off the path.
Exactly.
Do we? Until God brings us to that place, and usually He has to bring you down low.
Yes, sir.
He bring you down low. That's when it happens. It's not, oh, well, I'm going astray now. Usually people try to justify themselves. Now, I've heard it from people statements like these, from people who profess to believe. Let me just turn to one now. I say it over and over again. Let me find it here. I told you Ephesians 4, but I want you to turn. Find it here in just a moment. To Titus chapter 2. And I've mentioned this very thing before, but this is a statement from a professed believer. Now here's what was quoted from Scripture. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, and then this next phrase, keepers at home. And the statement was made, well, I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
Now, that's a fairly simple phrase. This doesn't take some understanding of Greek to get what it's getting at, does it? Huh? You see what I'm saying? It doesn't take some great theological mind to understand what that says, does it? See, the problem is, I know that's what it says, I'm just not going to do that. Huh? No, they try to justify it. I don't see it that way. Well, the point is, it doesn't matter how they see it, doesn't matter how I see it, doesn't matter how you see it, what matters is what God says.
Amen.
Period.
That's it.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, Joe and I have talked before, and both of us have made this statement to each other. And that's where it should stay with us, among God's people. Well, I don't care about this. That doesn't bother me any. You know what I'm saying about certain things in this world and certain things that happen? But the question always has to come down to this. What does God think about it?
Yes, sir.
Because it really doesn't matter what I think about it.
Exactly.
You know, it really doesn't matter what my feelings are or what my emotions are about the matter. What matters is what God says. And sadly, I say that to again point out, sadly, many people in this day and age, and I mentioned this last week as well, they see the walk of the believer as some cruel thing God's placed upon His people. Right? That's how many people who profess to know Christ, they say, well, God's taken away all my fun. God's taken away all my happiness. And the only kind of fun or happiness outside of obeying these precepts of this book in the New Testament is everything that looks for fun, for happiness, This is the flesh. It's the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Because there is in the spirit happiness and joy in obeying the walk God commanded us to walk in.
Amen.
You see, this is not, here's rules I've got to live by.
Yeah.
In this word, or here are things that will benefit my life.
Yes, sir.
And bless my soul. And bless the soul of my spouse. And bless the souls of my children. And so forth and so on. This is the way God has ordained for us to worship and serve Him. And sadly, too many people who profess to believe Christ see this as some drudgery, you know, like having to go to work at a job that you despise.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the way they view Christianity and serving God. And, you know, someone says, well, maybe people that make those kind of statements aren't really the children of God. Maybe so. Maybe so. Huh? Or another, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, who cares?
Exactly.
You know, what does it matter whether I see whether there's something wrong? Now, listen to what Paul said. We talked about last week, we looked at this individual responsibilities, right? And it's summed up this way. This, that's chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord.
Yes.
This is not Paul's opinion.
Right.
This is from God. And testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk.
That's what it says.
Amen. You know, that's it. We don't walk like they walk.
Exactly.
And when we begin to walk like they begin to walk, we begin to walk in their sphere.
Yeah.
And the Scripture is revealing evil communications do what?
Yeah.
Corrupt good manners.
Amen.
You cannot handle it.
Yeah,
don't think you can handle it. Well, I can handle it. I can deal with these things. I can get right up close to the world and be right with a part of the world. I can handle it. No, you can't. And every one of us that's tried that's found out the stain that comes on you when you do that.
Yes, sir.
And you find out the stain that comes on your family members when you do that.
Yes, sir.
Because when you do it, they think it's okay for them to do it as well.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Next thing you know, everybody's doing it. And next thing you know, there is no difference between the world and those who profess to believe. But Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And where is their walk? Based in the emptiness of their mind.
Yep.
In other words, do what feels good. Right? Do what feels good. No, according to God's word, for God's people is, here's what it is. Chapter, and I said I went to the second part first. We'll go back to the first part now. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called.
Amen.
You see, how we walk has an effect upon how people think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does have an effect. Now, as I said last week, that doesn't mean if we walk according to the truth of Scripture, everybody's going to love the gospel. Does it? It may mean if we walk according to the truth of Scripture that most people around us will come to hate the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But be that as it may, Scripture says, and I'll jump ahead a moment, says concerning parental responsibilities. It says to the father that he is to bring his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because that'll save them? Because that guarantees that somehow they're going to be one of God's one day? They're going to be converted? Will it guarantee that? No. You don't do it because it may have some good effect. You do it because that's what God says to do.
That's right.
Right? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But sadly, most parents who profess to believe, and it's just a fact, all these people out here I see around me profess to be Christians, they're not bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're bringing their children up career, school, sports, all this and all that. Go out and be with your friends, you know. Got to be in the in crowd.
Yeah.
And God's people ain't never been in the in crowd.
That's right.
Not
have
the
they?
First time.
They ain't never, ever been in the in crowd.
That's right.
And Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Amen.
That is, you put up with me and I put up with you.
Yes, sir. That's it. Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Period. Amen. You got the change. I wish to God I could.
Amen.
I wish to God there were certain things that I said or attitudes I had that I could just change and it was all over with, Earl. But it don't happen that way. And most people who want you to change that little thing about yourself, they're not looking at all the things about themselves. They need to change.
Exactly.
You remember what Christ said. Mm-hmm. You judge your brother for a little speck in his eye. You got that little splinter over here in the corner of his eye, and you judge your brother for that, and you got a dad blame two before in your own.
That's right.
Hmm?
That's it.
He said you get the two before out first. Then you'll be able to help your brother get the, you know, the splinter out of his eye. And he says, judge not. Here's the way he started. This is for God's people now.
Yeah.
Judge not, lest ye what?
Amen.
Be judged.
Amen.
And I know it's an old cliche, and you know, that when we point the finger, you got fingers pointing back at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? It's always easier to point out somebody else's faults.
Oh, yeah.
And as we stand here looking at the Scripture oftentimes points out our faults, does it not? What does it say concerning personal responsibilities? Are you a person that stole? What's it tell you to do? Just quit stealing.
Yeah.
You know? Are you a person that's just, well, I just never get angry. Well, you're not obeying the Scripture. Huh? Well, I just want to get along with everybody. I don't want to make any waves. Don't have to get along with them, maybe. I just don't want to make any waves. Scripture says, be ye angry. Uh-huh. Ain't that what it says?
Yes,
be ye angry and sin not. The prime example of this, I give an example of this. The prime example is this. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ went into that temple and he drove those people out.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Yes, sir.
He drove those people. That's anger. But it's what you call a holy anger.
Yes.
And he told those people, "You've made instead of my Father's house being a house of prayer, you've turned it into a den of thieves."
Yes, sir.
So Scripture makes us. Scripture's always made a distinction between the world and God's people.
Yes, sir.
Right after man fell, what did God tell Eve?
Yeah.
That there was two different kinds of seed, wasn't there?
Yeah.
There could be the seed of the woman. There's also going to be what? The seed of the serpent. There's going to be two different kinds of people in this world. That is the world and God's people. So again, Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and make sure you have unity in the Spirit." Is that what it says? Mm-mm. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
The unity of the Spirit is there.
Yes.
It's a reality. We're to endeavor to keep that unity.
Yes.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, let me stop. As we will see later, there is a central hub to all of this truth. And right here it's defined in what men call theological language. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
The reason people feel like they're not a part of that group, that church, or a local assembly that preaches the truth is because they're not a part of this right here.
Yes, sir.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, I've said this over and over again, but I have seen it happen. And I say this over and over again to warn us, to warn God's elect, that we be not like this world. But there are those who have been here, and finally, they become distracted. They begin to desire something else in life more than this.
Yeah.
Something, I'm just not fulfilled.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not calling them liars.
No.
They may well be not fulfilled. May well not be fulfilled.
Yeah.
But what comes to happen is they make this decision. They make some religious decision. They think they're part of the group. They think they're part of this one faith, one baptism, Come to find out a few years later, they're not. And they just can't. I just don't get anything out of it. And when you come to that place, it's best to start making your calling and election sure.
Yes, sir. That's true. That's it.
Make your calling and election sure. Because it's best to find out that you're truly lost. If you are, than to think you're saved, to die without Christ and perish forever.
Yes, sir.
Because the scripture is true. It said, and Joe, you quoted, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved."
Amen.
And what's striking is that statement is given in conjunction in the context where it says that some men's love will do what?
Yeah.
Wax cold.
Amen.
Hmm? They have a love that looks like the love of everybody else. But what happens to that love? It can wax cold. What happens? What is the reality of the love of God in Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
It never waxes cold, does it?
Amen.
Right? Paul said, what about this love? He said, it's better than what? Speaking in tongues, doing miracles, doing all these wonderful works, did it not? Why? Because this love, well, I can't quote it. Now remember, this is the love of God, first of all, primarily the love of God for his people.
Yes.
Now listen to what it says. Well, he's verse 1 of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains." Now, boy, you hear a lot about that today, don't you? That's the key, everybody says, right? Faith. Faith to remove mountains. But you got to remember that Christ said even faith of a grain of mustard seed could remove a mountain.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Kind of shows me how much I may lack in what I think I have concerning faith, huh?
Yeah.
"Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Charity, what does it do? Now this is not what it ought to do.
Yeah.
This is not what it might do.
Yeah.
If you don't have this, it shows your lack of it.
Yeah.
And we're going to be lacking in this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not going to find in us this thing perfected here. But look at what it says about love. "Charity suffereth long and is kind."
Yes.
"Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." And all, you know, most people, so far it's like, yeah. Now so far, the explanations for this could even extend to love, L-U-V, right?
Yeah.
But we're not talking about L-U-V. We're talking about L-O-V-E.
Yes.
Because it goes on and says, was it? "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth," in what?
Yeah.
Where does love rejoice? In the truth.
Amen.
Now, if I've said it, I said over and over again, that which binds us together here is truth. Truth.
Amen.
Truth. Truth. That's it.
Yeah.
And if a person can sit in this assembly and hear of the glorious person and work of Christ and not be moved to worship and serve God, they're lost.
Yeah. That's it.
They're lost. They don't have what they think they have. It's just, it's that simple. God, you know, he that is born of God, what is it? John says, Earl, 1 John 5, ain't it? Yeah, yes, I wasn't going to go to that one, though. I won't talk about that one. 1 John 5, listen to what it says. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God."
Amen.
Right? But you know, that's not all.
Exactly.
Because remember, the devils believe and tremble. Okay? Now, yes, everyone that's born of God believes that Jesus is the Christ, right?
Yeah.
But look, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
Amen.
Right there it is.
Yes, sir.
Believing Christ and loving God's people. And see, the truth is, and it is this, I'm not using myself as the example, but the truth is, I feel this. I know this to be true. This is my family.
Yeah.
This is my family. And when it comes, comparative wise, my flesh and blood can go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. When it comes compared to this family right here, they're outside of Christ. I don't care if they're my flesh and blood. They're outside of Christ. They hate God. They despise the truth. Let them go on to hell. And that's just a fact. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said, he that loveth, is that what he said? No, he said, he that hateth not his father, mother. Isn't that what it says?
Oh, yeah.
Now, is he talking about a hate of malice? No. But he's talking about this righteous hatred for those who hate God.
Yes, sir.
Which even the Old Testament prophet prophesied, and I believe it's actually the words of Christ, I hate those that hate thee.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
You know, and usually you don't like to be around people you hate.
Exactly.
Do you?
Exactly.
Huh? The reason we like to be around people is because we like them.
Mm-hmm.
There's the telltale sign.
Yeah.
Who do you want to be around? Huh? Who do you want to be with? You remember, I mentioned there several Sundays ago, remember when those disciples were beaten for preaching the glory of Christ? What did they do when them guys let them out of jail?
Yeah.
Where'd they go?
Yep.
Said they went to their own company.
Yep.
That's where they said they went, right? Again, I say, this is my family. And I know this to be true because I've had family members, flesh and blood, forsake the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And while my heart just sinks with emotion and hope and desire, it may not come.
Yeah.
What I hope for may not come.
Oh, yeah.
These people, this flesh and blood, may well be reprobate. Only God knows that for sure, but they may well be. Somebody says, they may be saved. They may be lost.
Yeah,
you see, the point is, you've got to face the facts. God saves His people.
Amen.
And when He saves His people, they begin to love and trust and worship and serve Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And can the righteous fall? Yeah, he can fall. Scripture says he can fall 7 times. It says, if he falls 7 times, right?
Yeah.
So he can at least fall 7 times.
Oh, yeah.
No, the righteous can fall, but will he stay fallen?
Exactly.
Will he?
Yeah.
No.
Amen.
Mm-mm. No, it says he will not. Though the righteous fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Amen.
God's people can never... Once we're regenerated and converted, God's people never can get away from God.
That's right.
They may get away from here.
Oh, yeah.
They may get away from me. They may get away from you.
Mm-hmm.
They may run here or there, but they can never get away from God.
Amen.
The sad part is some who've been here may well have left here, but never known God as well. And we have to face that fact and deal with it as reality. Well, the Scripture says we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. And there's certain conduct that does not walk worthy of that. That is an offense to it. That is an affront to the gospel of Christ. That is an embarrassment to the church. That's right, it's an embarrassment. You remember what David said that when he had sinned against God? I mean, you think about it. And I know people love to concentrate on the Bathsheba deal. You know? And that's a part of it. But remember, he also was guilty of murder as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had a man killed.
Yep.
And what did Paul, what did David say? I have allowed the enemies of God to do what?
Yeah.
To blaspheme.
That's right.
To blaspheme. You see, it ought to, for the believer, not it ought to be. That ain't what I got written down. Not it ought to be. For the believer, there is nothing... more there is no more guilty feeling to think that in some way you've caused the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be blasphemed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, it's one thing if they talk about me.
Yeah.
You know? Because I have my faults and my sins. Oh, yeah. It's one thing if they put me down. But when they put down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of my disobedience,
yeah,
that makes you feel guilty. And it ought to.
Yes, sir.
And it ought to. The truth is, the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Mm-hmm. I know, but sometimes we preachers love to do this thing, you know, and there may be some passages in scripture that there is that difference. But when it says fear, it's not simply talking about some godly reverence for God. It's about fearing God.
Yeah.
Noah moved with fear.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
being warned of God to build a boat.
Yes, sir.
The only creatures that were going to survive were what? Those on the boat. And Earl, if Noah hadn't have been on the boat, Noah would have drowned with the rest of the world.
Yes, sir.
The rest of the world. No, Noah moved with fear. You remember, and this one gets me. Well, it's hard for me. I can't relate to where this man was at one time. Okay, this is Hebrews 11 concerning Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's just hard for me to fathom. Here is a man who would have been the grandson to the god of Egypt.
Yeah.
The man who had all that he wanted.
Yes, sir.
If he said something, Earl, it happened. Mm-hmm. And if somebody didn't do his will, he put him to death. Here's a man by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yes, sir.
See, that's that relation. That's that love.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to blow this out of proportion. This is saying Moses loved God's people more than he loved the pleasures of the flesh. That was more important to him. Right?
Yeah.
And he chose rather. He could have had anything he wanted.
Yeah.
Basically. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there's something else that's got to go along with that. If it's real faith. Esteeming the reproach of Christ.
Yes.
Right? Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Not the glories of Christ, right? But the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And I've thought about it. My mind thinks this way. Well, yes, but Jesus Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he definitely was.
Yes, sir.
And when he was with publicans and sinners, eating their food and drinking their wine, what was he doing? Partying with them? He was speaking to them of the glory of God and the truth of God. That's what he did, Earl. He didn't run around with the sinners, publicans and sinners partying with them. He was here to declare or to reveal the glory of God in his face.
Amen.
To die for the sins of his people. That's what he was here for. You know? James says this, and this is not just an individual responsibility. These things here are collective. We're all to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. James says this. You warn people. I mean, we've even had examples. You see this happen. Okay? A person who will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Right?
Yes, sir.
And you see it happen to people. And they are. They're found out to be or have always been. Maybe they never even professed anything else. It doesn't matter. A person who's a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
That's right.
And friendship with the world is said to be enmity. It's the same thing. Hatred, right?
Yeah.
The friendship of this world is enmity against God.
Amen.
While the world loves to hear John 3:16 quoted. They also don't want to hear that passage where there was a time when God destroyed the whole world.
Yes, sir.
Save eight souls.
Exactly.
There was a time when God rained fire and brimstone down out of heaven and destroyed not just Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
There were other cities as well. He destroyed the cities of the plains by an overthrow, it says.
Yeah.
And the youngest with the oldest all died. That's right. The youngest with the oldest, all that. Don't be like the one person that says, well, I know there wasn't any babies in Sodom and Gomorrah because God killed everybody that was in there, and babies, if God wouldn't have done that to them.
Yeah.
You know, just nonsensical kind of stuff.
Exactly.
No, we have this responsibility that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, with what, lowliness, right? Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I got to say this again. You know, I've thought about this. This forbearing one another. Mm-hmm. Putting up with one another. And somebody says, but that kind of opens the gate for someone to walk all over me. Mm-hmm. That don't open the gate for anyone to walk all over you.
No.
First, that's the wrong way. That's not what God's opening up for anybody.
No.
But some people may abuse that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Some people may well abuse that. And you know what? You take it from the hand of God Almighty. Right? Now we know in the case of Joseph. It was meant that Joseph go into Egypt. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was meant that Joseph go through everything he went through.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he suffered at the hands of Potiphar and Potiphar's wife.
Oh,
yes, he suffered at the hands of those Ishmaelites that took him down into Egypt, but he also suffered at the hands of his own brethren.
That's right.
And I don't know what all Joseph felt during some of while these things were happening, but in the end, he could confess this, right? He told his brethren, he said, you meant this toward me for evil.
Yeah.
But what? God meant it for good.
Amen.
And we've got to always remember, we deserve to be criticized. You know, let us never think we're so blessed holy that we're above criticism.
Yeah.
Huh?
That much is certain.
And like I told you, what hurts is, it hurts when people lies about you.
Mm-hmm.
But what hurts is when people who know you abandon you, then start spreading the dirt on you.
Tell them the truth.
Yeah, spilling, bringing your skeletons out of the closet.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
That hurts worse than the lies. Because the lies are that, lies. The truth hurts. You know, it's real. And believe you me, it can happen. Those you hold dearest may not be your dearest one day. And they'll tell on you. They'll tell on you. But according to Scripture, love does what? Covers a multitude of sins. In other words, when it comes to this family, it ain't nobody else out there. It ain't their business. You understand? It ain't their business.
Yeah.
I know Hollywood and everything else has used it, you know, but what happens here stays here. It's our business. It's nobody else's business.
That's right.
And I'm repeating many things, but it's just as much the truth of God as Ephesians 1:1-4, where it says, how dare do you go to court with one another, and that before unbelievers.
Yeah.
David, that's just as much God Almighty's word to me as Ephesians 1:1-4. We deal with our problems in house.
Yes.
Of course, sadly, the problem is we generally don't want most things discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, they'll stay over there in the corner, and usually that's where they ought to remain.
Mm-hmm.
Bless God, if it's in the closet, keep it in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because here's what we do. Well, I need to straighten out this problem. But when you try to straighten out that problem, believe you me, a lot more is going to arise.
Yeah.
You point out one person's problem, they go point out your problem.
Oh.
Then you're going to feel obliged to point out another problem they got. They go feel obliged to point out another problem you got.
Yeah.
And next thing you got a whole grocery bag full of problems. Now you got to solve.
Exactly.
Right? Let it go.
Yes.
Come on now.
That's what it says.
That's what it says, David. Why do you not just suffer the wrong? No. Why? Because we really think we're pretty good. We deserve something. You know? And believe you me, I know I've been there. Some of you have heard me in my own living room. You know? I don't know why this happened to me. Well, later I, you know, realized what happened to me. Because of me.
That's it.
Were I a perfect, holy person, what would it matter, David? Huh? What would it matter? No, we have a responsibility to what? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, because there's one body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And I say it again, and I said, mentioned it last week. Now think about this, in you all. It actually, I know this is emotion, but when I'm by myself, when I'm at home and I'm alone and I read that verse, it actually causes the hair to stand up on the back of my neck, because I'm again reminded that God Almighty is in me.
Yes.
He's in my body. You know, it shows you we're good Trinitarians here, don't we? Aren't we? We believe in Father, Son, and Spirit, but they are what? These three are what? One.
Amen.
But we often, the mind then says, well, but it's the Spirit of God in me. Right? It says our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Right? It's talking about this body.
Yes, sir.
In this body. But you know what that means, don't you? It means Jehovah God dwells in me.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You know, it won't cause just some reverential fear. It caused some actual fear. One Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But listen, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know? And I say it in slightly different words. If you're not encouraged by coming here, might as well quit coming here. That's right. If you're not encouraged by coming here, you might as well quit coming here. Because again, I say, I am not of that ilk that believes that the tares and the wheat. I am not. I don't believe that the parable of the tares and the wheat is a parable about the church. And I don't believe we have to put up with people who rebel against God and have no repentance. But you know, the odd thing, so far, and that's God's business, you know, so far, the truth is declared here so clearly and so plainly and so bluntly, usually those who don't love it, they will leave. We don't have to keep saying that over and over. You know, they're going to leave. I can't take it anymore. Sometimes they last one Sunday. Sometimes they may last 10, 15 years. But eventually they'll leave. Why? Because of the truth. We don't. We compromise. We may compromise on a lot of things, you know? Who cares what kind of amp that was? Who cares what kind of CD tape recorder that was, you know? What does it really matter? We got different opinions. We pick out one. We go with it, right? But when it comes to the truth of God, there is no compromise.
That's right.
And if you don't like it, tough.
Amen.
Period. Father, we pray that the truth may truly be that which sustains us and joins us together. That it is the truth of your person and your work and even those things wherein you command us to walk. Not as some dull thing, but as that which brings us joy and happiness in the person of thy Son. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.